your porch lights off because they're coming home with a trophy.
Hi there, welcome to Sharkcast, a podcast about all things Cronulla Sharks, the greatest team in the history of the world. My name is Sam Shinazi. I'm here for a streamlined episode courtesy of our sponsors, Dyson Logistics, Endeavour Property Services, Port Hacking Royal Motor Yacht Club, LGB Supplements, and Shark Island Brewing. This podcast is available on iTunes, Stitcher, our friends at Wooshka, Podbean, a whole host of podcast applications, including Spotify. So you can sign up, download for free, follow us. It's all incredibly useful for us. So thank you very much for all of that support. And if you're not doing all that, please jump on board and help us out. An incredible shout out to my friend, Adam Newman. He and his lovely wife, Michelle, and their beautiful daughter, T-Bone, have now been joined by Wallace, who we're going to call Ace. Ace Newman is in the world. We're all over the moon for him, and send him some love online. Let him know how happy you are that this has happened, and no doubt you'll be hearing from Adam very shortly. The Sharks enter round 24, second last round, in sixth place, but hunting for fourth. To grab a top four spot, all you have to do is beat Newcastle, beat the Dogs. Penrith has to drop one game. Dragons have to drop one game. It's all very doable. It's there for the Sharks to take. They're coming off a 28-16 win over the Cowboys at Southern Cross Group Stadium last Saturday night. I was down there with Dr. Cameron Webb, which was a lot of fun. It was a close game right up until the last 5 minutes when Dugan and Bakuya scored two tries in 4 minutes to seal out the game. Our interview guest for today, Chad Townsend, had a very strong game. He scored a try and set up another one and kicked pretty well as well. Val Holmes had no errors in his game, ran for over 200 metres. Unfortunately, both Ramian and Lutelli, our starting centres, went down. We played over half a match without them. Guys like Capewell and Lewis and Bakuya and even Paulo helped out in the centres there. So we definitely have versatility there, but moving forward without our starting centres, it's going to be a more difficult task. Andrew Fifita caused all sorts of controversy when he scored a try and then pointed up towards me in the ET stand, or should I say the coaching box behind me, and let rip with some verbal spray and pointing. I don't have too much to say on this matter except for the fact that I felt like the media blew it up more than what it was. Yes, it's not a good look. Andrew's a emotional guy. He's a bit loose, and we know that, and we're okay with it because he goes out in the field and he destroys his opposition. So we get all sides of Andrew, and mainly it's the good side, but sometimes the other side comes out. If you watch the replay, there's some great vision of him wanting the ball from the kickoff after that try was scored. And I think he's talking to Chad Townsend, and he just says, "Give me the ball, give me the ball." And then he makes a 20-meter run and gets a penalty, and he got fired up. So I don't have a lot to say on that matter. And of course, since then, he's in a bit more strife, slightly more serious. About a three-week-old podcast was released featuring Andrew and Josh Dugan. They had some choice words to say about a journalist, and that has gone viral. I'm not here to talk about controversies. I'm here to talk about football. Luke Lewis had a really strong game. I was a bit critical of him in the last few weeks, but he had a terrific game. The angles and lines that he ran on Jonathan Thurston, which ultimately helped him cross over for a try, were just brilliant to watch. And a shout out to Aaron Woods, who's still going really strong for us off the bench. I skimmed over an article today saying that he was the fans' most overrated worst buy of the year, but I'll tell you what, ask any Sharks fan, he's going pretty well at the moment. Our defense continues to be our strength. We're ranked in the top five for several key defensive stats, including fewest points conceded, tries conceded, and meters conceded. We've also conceded the equal third fewest line breaks and missed the fourth fewest tackles. And on the weekend, we only missed about 15. So defensively, we're probably where we want to be. And the 12-point winning margin was the equal second biggest we've had all year. So based on the last game, we're in a pretty healthy spot. Injuries aside, of course. Sorry for the pun. Before I go on, some news from the CSSC. They're heading out to the last regular season game of the year against Canterbury out at Homebush. They're calling it the Heritage Round. So it's Sunday, September 2nd, 2 o'clock kickoff. And they're saying, "Are you ready to lift?" which harks back to one of their original slogans when they started. if you're a member from 2006 to 2010, you get the bus and ticket for $20, which is a really great price. Regardless, if you want to join the Bus of Dreams, it leaves from Miranda Hotel. Get in touch with the CWSC. They're on Twitter. They're on Facebook. I'm sure you'll find them. Great bunch of people, and they're out there every week supporting our club. Big game coming up against Newcastle at home, our last home game for the year. There will be no more games at the SCGS this year, no matter what you guys think about where the final should be, where it shouldn't be. This is the last game at Cronulla this year, so get down and support the team. There's going to be a big farewell celebration for Luke Lewis, Ricky the Tackle, Latelli, Edric Lee, Joseph Captain America Paulo, and Jesse Ramian. They're all moving on to either other clubs or retiring. They've done some great things for our club, and the club is going to send them off in style. Valentine Holmes has not broken the record yet for the highest try scorer in a season for the Sharks, but he's very, very close. He needs one try to get it. Now, keep in mind, he scored 7 tries in his past 6 matches. Against Newcastle, he scored 12 tries in his past 7 matches. I've got to believe it's coming in this game. Going into round 24, he's the leading try scorer in the NRL with 19 tries. Paul Gallen will play his 156th match at Shark Park. He overtakes Andrew Ettinghausen for the most appearances at the venue. Another great accolade for Captain Gallen. We've won the past 7 matches against Newcastle, won the past 3 at home. In round 12, we beat them 48-10, which is our biggest win this year. Reports today that Kalen Ponga will not play. You got to hope that's true. He's their best player. He's phenomenal. He's their future. But regardless, it's a game that has to be won by the Sharks. Win the next 2, I've got a really strong feeling you'll be in the top 4. A lot going on in my world. There's a lot going on in the worlds of people around us. Hope you're happy. Hope you're healthy. Short version of the podcast this week. I'm going to throw to an interview with Chad Townsend. I've been chasing him for a while. Thank you to Rob Willis at the Sharks for organising it. I wanted more time with him, but he had to go. I think he enjoyed the interview, and I think he'll be back. So you'll find the interview insightful. He does talk about a number of subjects. And I was really impressed with the way he spoke to me and his knowledge and passion for the club. Once again, thank you to our sponsors, Dyson Logistics, Endeavour Property Services, the Port Hacking Royal Motor Yacht Club, LGB Supplements, and Shark Island Brewing. Please get behind these local sponsors. We love them. We wouldn't push them on you if we weren't happy with how they go about and do their things. They sponsor us. Get behind them. We're on social media at SharkCastPod. Sharkcastpod@gmail.com is also the email, and we'll probably see a bunch of you down at the game this weekend. Coming up after this short break will be an interview with Chad Townsend. Hey Newman, I bought some Sharks memorabilia off a dude in Queensland. I need to get it here as soon as possible, but the seller doesn't do shipping. I need it in a hurry. What am I going to do, buddy?
Mate, get straight on the phone to Dyson Logistics.
What's the deal with those guys?
Dyson Logistics can move anything from a small package to a 40-foot container. Road, rail, sea freight, air freight, local, regional, international, and they will do it cheaper and quicker than those big corporate freight companies, and with better service too, because they have that personal family business touch.
Give me their number right now.
Hit them up on 0467-233-153. That's 0467-233-153. Or log on to the website, DysonLogistics.com.
A little birdie tells me they're also very big, passionate, long-time Cronulla Sharks fans as well. What a bonus. DysonLogistics.com, they go above and beyond. That's the Dyson difference.
To Russell, and Russell has been able to go through. He's put the kick through. How fast is the little fellow? He's leading the race. He'll score, I think. Yes, that's a try. That's a try for certain. Yes, he's given the try. And so it was a clever piece of football by Russell. It was a perfect example of backs at the scrum. If you had watched them closely, they could have leant out and shook hands.
Okay, Sam, on the road here with the great Chad Townsend. Chad, welcome to your debut on the podcast. How are you going?
Good, thanks. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. Nice and early media call for you today. How did the media treat you on this somewhat controversial day?
Not too bad, actually. A few questions that some things I don't really know too much about, but I did my best as usual.
We've won 2 in a row now after a bit of a slight slump in form. We should have beaten the Manly, should have beaten the Broncos, back on track. Your form in particular has improved, if you don't mind me saying. How do you feel you're going leading into the finals?
Yeah, I'm feeling good at the moment. The last 2 weeks I've really just tried to focus on what things that I can control, and trying to play with a little bit more passion and I think it's been working for me. I think on the weekend, it was probably one of my best games for a while. Most importantly, just happy to get a win. That's the main thing. I'd rather take a win any day of the week.
And you're running the ball a bit more?
Yeah, definitely. I think as a halfback, you can get caught up in game plan and kicking and running the team and not worry about yourself. So on the weekend, I tried to look up a little bit more and think about myself. As selfish as that might sound at stages, sometimes you need to and run the ball, and I was able to score that try.
Just regarding your kicking game in general play, a lot of our listeners write to us about thoughts, opinions, the deal. You do your training drills and that kind of stuff, but is it ad lib sometimes? Like, because you seem sometimes a bit clinical, and I mean that in a positive way.
Look, we've got a kicking plan every single week about how we want to kick.
Does it change?
Yeah, definitely. I'm not too concerned about what people say and what people think about our kicking. The coaches are the people that I'm accountable to,
yep.
And what they tell me to do is what I do. So at the end of the day, I'll come off the field and they'll say if I've done a good job or done a bad job about it, and how we turn the ball over. I think this year I've had to do a lot more kicking. I've been probably the only kicker in the team. Jimmy took a lot of kicks last year, and then the previous year Mickey Ennis took a lot more kicking. So this year I've had to probably nearly triple my kicks throughout the year, which has definitely been an adjustment for me. But like I said, it's a lot of it. Everything about our kicking is planned.
Okay. As far as goal kicking, you're happy to take it on should it come back up again?
Yeah, definitely. For sure. I've goal kicked my whole life. Apart from probably the 2 years prior to starting this year, I actually had a groin injury, which made me stop kicking. And that was the reason I gave it a bit of a rest for about 2 years. But, I'm confident in goal kicking. I practiced all year. My groins are feeling good. Best I've ever felt. So I still practice with Val. We practice it every single week. So he's kicking them good at the moment, and I'm happy for the coaching staff to pick whoever. That doesn't worry me.
Okay, I'll stop reeling in now. Now, stepping back in time a bit, Sharks Junior played a couple of years here in first grade, went to the Warriors. How did you feel leaving the Sharks? Did you feel like you might come back one day?
I never burnt any bridges or never closed the door or anything. I wanted to leave to get more of an opportunity to play first grade, and I thought it was elsewhere. And I was always had my heart set on leaving. I wanted to leave. I wanted to move on and challenge myself in a different way. And just happened to probably be the biggest challenge in the NRL to move countries and live in New Zealand. And I moved away from my friends and my family, and just worried about playing footy and training hard and making sacrifices and working for what I wanted, and I was able to go over there and do that for 2 years. And then the opportunity arose to come back to Sydney, and I had a good chat to Flano, and then come back, and we did something special in 2016.
Sure did. I'm going to get to that. Were you coached under Stacey Jones?
Yeah, he was our assistant coach.
How was that?
Yeah, really good. He's
one of the best, that's right.
He's one of the greatest halfback to ever play for New Zealand, I think. He only a small little fella. You see Stacey in the flesh, and he's tiny, like not very tall, but very skillful, very knowledgeable about the game. I learned a lot from him.
And what about playing with Sean Johnson? How was that?
Yeah, really good. He's a
completely different player to you.
He's a completely different player to me. He does some things on the field that people like myself dream of. He just floats across the field. He's got extremely good footwork, speed, acceleration. I really enjoyed my time playing with not only players like him, but also, Manu Vatave, Simon Mannering, players that will go down as some of New Zealand's greatest players. I was also coached by, Ruben Wickie, done our strength and conditioning, and then Andrew McFadden, who was our coach at the time, I learned a lot off. He, being an ex-halfback as well,
yep.
Took a lot of time and really coached me and helped me a lot.
Okay. Now, you mentioned 2016. It's something that I and our listeners think about every single moment of every single day. It was a hell of a year for everyone involved. At what point did you start to realise it was special? Like, what round? What part of the year?
Probably when
what
we...
part of the winning process?
When we won 12 in a row.
12?
Yeah.
Was that the Parramatta game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, I walked off the field and I thought, geez, if we don't win the competition this year, it'll be a wasted year. And that's how I felt.
Okay.
I felt like we as arrogant as it might sound, I felt like we deserved to win the competition.
Yeah.
The way we were playing. Obviously, you know, competitions aren't won after you've won 12 in a row, and there's a lot more to go. But you know, we didn't lose a game for 4 months straight. You know, I look back at life that time and I'm just thinking, geez, you know, how fun and enjoyable the whole thing was. And that's the way we played our footy. We dead set thought we could beat anyone at any time. No matter if we were behind by 12 or 24 points, we'd always come back. And, you know, we won a lot of games by 2 points, 1 point, some golden point games. And more importantly, we finished in the top four. So, we, you know, we gave ourselves a chance and then we went on and we've done it.
The game against Canberra has been spoken about a lot, and you were replaced throughout the game. You came back the week after. Hey, Kurt.
Hey, mate.
How you going? Came back against the Cowboys in the prelim. Had a hell of a game. One of my favourite images is you scoring, I think, the first try, and just looking back at your teammates. And there was a lot of justification there for you and for your, you know, friends, family, fans. Go on to the grand final. Great game there. Make history. I mean, you out of the whole squad must realise what that meant to all of us.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, as we sit here now at Southern Cross Group Stadium, I look over to that family hill and, you know, I can see this, the seat on the row where I used to sit when I was a kid, you know, with my flag, white Sharks flag, and I only grew up, you know, just down the road. So, you know, I used to watch this team when I was a kid, and then, you know, to grow up and play for the Sharks and then to play in the grand final and win the grand final and at the time be the only local junior is something I'll definitely hold close to me for a long time. And, you know, I know how happy it made a lot of people. You know, after we won, you know, you see a lot of people showing a lot of emotion and crying and laughing and just being happy and because of how much it meant to them. And, you know, it means a lot to the players as well that we could bring it home for the first time for a lot of people that have been waiting a long time. I think someone told me after there was a Facebook page that said Cronulla Sharks to win the premiership before I die.
Yeah.
Someone told me about that, which is pretty funny. I don't know if that steel page is going, but
it is still
yeah,
going,
yeah. So you know, it's just good that you know you can provide that for some people.
I spoke to Wade and Bakuya a couple of weeks ago and I asked them about the last minute of the grand final. What's your memories, your thoughts, feelings on it, the last minute?
I kicked the ball over the sideline.
Yep.
And I'm trying to wind down the clock a little bit, but these days, you know, you only get maybe 10 seconds off the clock by the time the team's packed the scrum, and then you know, they got, we were defending pretty passively as you do, I don't know why, and then you know, I was in my line, in my spot in the defensive line, and then once Vinavalu made that break, I defend on the right side and I ran over to the left side of the field to make a tackle. And at one stage, Luke Lewis, Jack Bird, Valentine Holmes and myself, who are all right-sided players, are on the left side of the field. And we have to sprint back to the right side of the field to try and stop a try and then go back again. And then Ricky makes a tackle. And, you know, to be honest, we train for that stuff. We do drills and stuff to keep moving and, you know, don't stop in defence. And, you know, that's why we won it. We wanted it more than them.
What's your memories of the next few minutes after that? Like, it's just chaos, right?
Yeah, it's chaos. You know, to this day, I haven't watched the grand final back. I don't really feel like I will, to be honest.
Whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. I might
challenge you on that. Yeah.
I've just got the memories in my head at the moment,
yeah,
and
sure.
I'm happy for that.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was just chaos, man. I just couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe that we just won the grand final. I looked up at the crowd and took a moment to just really take it in, and people were just going crazy. You know, the amount of black, white, and blue that was everywhere. People just throwing beers everywhere. Like
when you ran out, when the team ran out to start the game before the anthem and everything, how was that? Seeing that a massive
yeah, colour it was good. Like it was just
pretty surreal.
Yeah,
right?
Definitely. I remember it was probably the loudest crowd I've ever played in front of. I just looked around at the boys, and they were all.
You know, Gal came out and he was smiling.
Yeah, well, everyone was smiling.
Smiles.
Everyone was. Yeah, that's true. Everyone was smiling, to be honest. They were just really happy you know, and that's how we played our game. You know, we stuck to our plan and we executed it well.
Okay. How do you feel going into the finals? What's going to happen, Chad? Are we looking good?
Yeah, I feel like we're feeling good at the moment on the back of the last 2 weeks. I think we've been able to build, put some good performances in. We're still not playing, I think, to the best of our potential, but, you know, we've got 2 weeks to go. We want to take it the cliche, 1 week at a time. We've got a big week this week against Newcastle, where a lot of our departing players will get farewelled, which is what they deserve. A lot of players who have put in a lot of time and effort and won grand finals for this club, and they deserve the send-off they should get. So, you know, we want to send them off in front of our home fans in the right way.
Okay, a little bit of light entertainment before I let you go. You like the NFL. Who's your favourite NFL team?
Cleveland Browns.
Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, I started following them in 2012 when they were. I just picked the team and they were really bad, and I stuck solid. And now,
at what point did Johnny Football enter the picture? What year was that?
Yeah, well, I liked Johnny Football, and then when he got drafted, he went to the Browns, and I was like, I'm going for the Browns now. And then he went bust, but I've stuck strong with the Browns. Now we're on Hard Knocks, and now we're going.
Yeah, they're looking a lot better.
A few draft picks.
Do you watch the Canadian League now that Johnny Football's in there?
I watch his highlights.
Yeah.
I watched his 4 interceptions in his first game.
Oh boy.
Terrible. But yeah, I don't know. I can't see him coming back to the NFL, to be honest.
No. And I have one more question for you. Tell me about music. What sort of music do you like?
Yeah, I like a bit of everything. To be honest, I like Drake. I like Red Hot Chili Peppers. I like Foo Fighters. Mm-hmm. I like a bit of dance, electronic music.
Do you have a favourite artist or band?
I'd have to say probably Drake is my favourite artist.
Okay.
But yeah, favourite band, I'd have to say Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'm getting the wind up from Uncle Rob Willis, so thanks very much for speaking to us. We appreciate it.
No worries.
Good luck for the rest of the year.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Chad.
Look at this.